There you go.
What's it say? It's backwards on the screen. You'll have to read it to
Oh.
them.
Oh, really? Okay, she said to them.
What's it say?
It says 7% of Americans have worn the U.S. military uniform, keeping our country free for 100% of Americans. I'm proud to be one of them.
That's great. Where'd you get that? I need one of those.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
It's called 7% patch. You
Okay.
Google
I'll order
7%
one.
patch, or I can give you one.
No, I'll order one.
Okay. You guys ready
So.
now? Okay. Welcome. I'm Ann Beal, and my co-host here is Dr. Jim Slaughter.
Hi, everybody.
And we are here with Colonel Ray Ivey, and he is here to talk to us about Gold Star families. Now, a lot of people don't know what those are, but those are families who had a family member die in combat. So, in honor of Memorial Day, Ray is going to talk to us about Gold Star families and memorials going up around the U.S. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for.
So, tell us about it.
Well, the.
Wait. First, tell us about you,
That's
because
good.
not everyone heard your show, probably heard your 4th of July show. We had Dr. Colonel Ray Ivey on July 4th of last year, and he shared, you should go back and watch that. You can see it on Getting Better with Annabelle Facebook, or you can see it on YouTube. You can
Yes.
see it. It's in a lot of places. You can go to Ray Ivey's Facebook, Colonel Ray Ivey. It's actually just Ray Ivey, isn't it?
Correct.
And you can see it's wonderful. And he does a tribute, and there's like 11 minutes to listen to that clip of what you said the 4th of July meant to him. It's really good. And so tell us about your credentials. There's a lot. I'd rather you do it than me.
Okay. Well, one of my first credentials I'd like to start out with is I started as a private.
Which is really amazing that
So,
you would do that as well, yeah.
I've seen it from the bottom and maybe from partially from the top as a colonel, but I spent time as a private, and I came in 1966 to serve in the military. I went on to be a helicopter mechanic and then a pilot for fixed wing and rotary wing aircraft. Of course, when I got to Vietnam, I was in helicopters and flew helicopters for the year I was over there. That sets you up. To be have a passion for those that were didn't come back. I spent my year and returned, and there was so many that didn't, and that applies even worse in situations where in World War II we didn't even bring some of the bodies back home. We buried them overseas, and that's what Omaha Beach Cemetery is all about, which I've visited. One of the things I think that we owe a debt, and certainly those of us that survived over there, for those that may have helped with that, or those people that did not come back and taking care of their families, and because for us it ended, there was an event and it ended. For those families, it's not an event that ends. They continue to remember that loved one that they lost for the rest of their lives, and there will always be a hole in their hearts. That they are will never feel and don't want to feel, I might add, in that particular case. A Gold Star Monument has an actual silhouette through the marble of a soldier saluting, and that hole in that monument is specifically there to tell us all there's a void. There's a spot that's not there for those families. And it will always be that way. And we as a country, I think as we approach Memorial Day and this kind of stuff, have the greatest honor should be given to those that gave their all. Some gave some gave all, we say. And
You gave some.
I gave
That's why
some.
you pointed to yourself.
Correct.
And some gave all.
They didn't, they died there in that country. As an example, I would tell you that in Vietnam, we had a mortar attack one night, and there were 28 mortars that hit in my area where I slept and the hangar, which was right next to it. There were nine aircraft damaged, six were so bad they couldn't be recovered, had to be sent out to Vietnam. And there were nine and three that were just had to be worked on. There were also nine of my men that got injured that night. And during the chaos, we didn't know exactly how many of those might not make it. One, Charles Watley, I'll mention his name for his family and to honor him, was one that did not live through that night. We had one aircraft that didn't live through that. It had a direct hit of a mortar. And that'll ever always be on my mind is that was the only time that I lost people that worked for me was that particular night. It was a bloody night.
Wow.
So that's what Memorial Day means to me, is to say and see those that didn't come back and the families that didn't. And that brings us back to the monument. There are less than 100 monuments in the United States, some that are being erected at this time.
The Gold Star Monument.
The Gold Star Family Monument.
Family Monument.
And the Gold Star is because of a person's service in country during a war combat, and of course they died in that while they were there.
And that was pretty common a long time ago. People used to put in their windows the blue star.
Correct.
And then if someone died, did they add a gold ribbon?
No, they placed the gold star over the banner. It was a banner that hung up much like a sheet of paper like this right here, a little flag that had a blue star on it. And that meant and you put it in your window of the house of when your loved one was serving overseas in combat. And then if they were killed, you put a gold star banner just like that when you cover it up on the window, cover up the blue one and put the gold one up there for indicating that one of your loved ones had been killed.
Well, I wonder why they stopped doing that. Because you really don't, people nowadays don't even seem to know those terms.
The tradition has been forgotten by some.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that not all. Certainly not by Gold Star families that are there. I just recently proposed, we just recently proposed to the Azle Chamber of Commerce that we would have one here in Azle. And in that discussion, we had four World War II veterans there that day. One who was there at Iwo Jima when they raised that flag. Wow. He wasn't one of the ones that was raising it, but he was standing about 20 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Don Graves, and he's an interesting 97-year-old man to talk to, I'm telling you. But he was there that day promoting this.
Now, was Red in there? Red, what's his last name? Red, we interviewed him. He lives up in Azle, or does he live in Boyd? And he's a World War II veteran.
I don't remember him being there.
Yeah, so there were four?
Four of them.
That's
yes.
Amazing because they are very old.
Yeah, correct.
Like in their 90s, right?
And Mark Donahue is vice president of an organization called Roll Call for Veterans. And he sees to it that these four, if they want to be someplace, we bring them to that. When the Pearl Harbor memorial was set up in the high school that night when they made the presentation, those four men were standing.
Is that Azle High School?
Azle High School.
Now, Azle is northwest of Fort Worth. Correct. It's west of Saginaw, right? Kind of?
Yes. Yes.
Northwest of Saginaw, which is west of Hazlitt, which is where Life Solutions is, our counseling clinic.
There you go.
Yes. So they are doing some pretty incredible things there in Azle, or at least you are involved in those, wanting it to be even more incredible with a Gold Star Family Monument.
Yes, I am.
Now, I was reading there are 94 monuments across the U.S. So it was in the paper, guys. Yeah. Honoring Gold Star Families in Azle.
Yes.
And it was an article in the Azle News.
Yes. And that give the date of that?
Yes. May 18th. 2022.
Just recently.
Yes.
So we've just begun.
And it shows a picture of the memorial. This one is in Keller, I think.
That one there is a... Could
I don't
be,
know if you can see it.
It's not the Keller one, but it could be anywhere. They're all the same, mm-hmm. except the back sides of them are adapted for the local community. And the one in Keller, when you look through there like that right there, you'll see mm-hmm. a lake behind it.
Oh, so where the soldier's saluting, and that's a hole in it shaped like a soldier. Yes. There's a lake behind it. Now, do they write on this monument their family members?
No. But as in Keller, as you enter the area of the monument, mm-hmm. there is a plaque that's put on a granite stone over the side that you can stop and look at, and it has the names of.
Oh, so they do have something.
They can. Yes,
that's
can.
Great. So this article is by Jessica McKinney. Thank you, Jessica, for writing this because I learned a lot from this article. They said that there are 94. Yeah, 94 monuments have been installed, including one in Weatherford. Yes. And 79 are in progress around the U.S. Yes. Great.
Do you know how many Gold Star families are here in Hazel Ray or...
We don't know. We're researching that right now. And as we begin to advertise and promote the monument, we'll be asking for that and collecting that data. Mm-hmm. We do know we have a Medal of Honor winner, which will be one of those that died in World War II, and he's mm-hmm. buried at Ash Creek Cemetery right here in the city.
Okay.
So we're putting that data together now, and we'll be looking for support from people that will help us with that.
Wow, that's wonderful that you're doing that. And I think part of the thing I love about doing shows at Memorial Day and Veterans Day is I like to highlight things that people don't know about these days. And Memorial Day is for soldiers who have died during combat.
Correct.
And Veterans Day is for all veterans.
Those that are still living, like myself. Yes, exactly right.
So is it only for living? I guess it is because the other ones, they didn't all die in combat.
Nope.
So, but Memorial Day is for those who died, and not just combat or in combat.
Memorial Day is, I always think about it as those that died in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Life moves on, things change. We Vietnam veterans are very familiar with the fact that some died in the war and some died from the war later because of Agent Orange.
Or other things.
Or other things.
Yeah.
Because Agent Orange has many diseases that will cause a person's death. And we're all veterans are happy that has been acknowledged now, and we're seeing it. The Gulf War Syndrome, by the way, from other vets, has now been recognized, and they think that it was from the sarin gas that they experienced over there. And
and PTSD has now been recognized.
Oh, yes.
Because that took a very long time.
Yes. The VA has, let me just plug in for the VA. Mm-hmm. The VA has really changed their reception to veterans that were fighting with some of these other diseases and other things that were happening to them from their time in service. But that changed in the past few administrations, and the VA secretary, a friend of mine, was also the chief of staff of the United States Army, Eric Shinseki, went on to be the secretary of VA. And during that time, they've opened it up because it was so overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Trump opened it up to President Trump opened it up to that veterans could seek commercial care. That was great.
Outside of the VA.
Outside of the VA, and the VA pays for it, kind of thing. There's a process to get that done. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. But back to the memorial. Let me share a story with you that when I was. Having a reunion of my company in Vietnam, which was the 189th Assault Helicopter Company, Ghost Riders was our name. We have reunions pretty frequently, and the but every 2 years, and but the pandemic, of course, broke that up. Mm-hmm. But just before that, we had one, and they asked me to speak at the Vietnam Memorial Wall. And so, as those that are familiar with it, it's kind of a, in a V or L, if you want to say it, a 90-degree turn in the wall. I walked down to that spot, and they joined me on the grass, watching me to hear what I had to say. But part of that I had to say that day has to do with Memorial Day.
Is that in D.C.?
That's in Washington, D.C.
And you're going back there again. When are you going?
I'm going on June the for a burial of one of my friends in Arlington Cemetery on June the 10th. I'll be there. I'll be there a few days before and a few days after. But June the 10th, Tom Raines is a good friend of mine. He's a Vietnam vet, and we spend a lot of time together. And as I became a prodigal son and came back to Jesus Christ, so did he. So there were just a lot of things that drew us together as real tight friends. Mm-hmm. And he died in August of 2000, and that to show you the waiting list mm-hmm. that it takes to have this happen. But they'll have a public burial in Arlington on June the 10th, in which my wife and I intend to be there with.
Now, you used to live in D.C. because you worked at the Pentagon.
Yes, I did. I did, and but only for 1 year.
That's
fantastic because the reason I left the Pentagon was I got selected to take battalion command, and so I didn't have to stay in that, but I got a taste of it.
Yes.
A deep taste of the bureaucracy that could take place there.
From what I hear, is pretty incredible. So let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we get back, I'd like you to talk about how people can, you know, more about the Gold Star Families Memorial, which you're getting involved in for here in Azle.
Yes.
And then how people can, for Memorial Day, make donations or some things that would be good for them to do to remember all these soldiers. And so stay right here, and we'll be right back. Okay. So the next segment is 5 minutes.
Okay.
So what would you, I know you had some things specifically that you wanted to talk about. So what would you like to do next?
I don't know if we covered I don't know how much we covered of the fact of how it began, Memorial Day as Decoration Day, because I wanted to tie that to why we put wreaths and the flags at military graveyards.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Kind of thing.
Yes, okay. And then, so we'll spend 5 minutes on that.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and you can talk. If you can go into any part of it you want.
Okay.
But I'll just let you know because we're trying to record for the show, the actual radio show as well on usaradio.com, which will be Sunday at 8 a.m. if you want someone to listen to that and they don't have access to Facebook. Or on Saturday at 12 p.m. in the Dallas Metroplex on KBDT 1160 a.m. And that'll be at 12 at lunchtime, noon, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. So let's start there. So welcome back. We are here, Dr. Slaughter, my co-host, Ann Beal, and we're here again following up with Colonel Ray Ivey. And he is sharing with us about Memorial Day, its purpose, but also the Gold Star Families Memorial, which is being created around the world. There are 94 of them now, and 79 are in process, maybe 80 if you get the Azle one going, to honor these Gold Star families that have lost a loved one in combat. So, Ray?
Well, I'd always like to point back out that I grew up as a kid, school kid, looking forward to Memorial Day and other holidays mm-hmm. because I knew the family was going to get together, we were going to have a great time, and everybody's going to be off work, and there was just a whole bunch of things, apple pies and hot dogs and stuff like that.
That's right. What I used to always think about for Memorial Day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that any veteran or deceased veteran would begrudge that happening. I don't mean to speak about that negatively at all. I think that that's what they fought for.
Yes.
And I fought for was the freedom that we have in this country to be able to do stuff like that. And they would enjoy if they were witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses watching this. They would be tickled at to see that kind of thing happen. But when we go back to it, General John Logan in 1868 is who proposed that we recognize this day, and they call it Decoration Day. And that was because he was asking people to go out to those cemeteries and decorate the graves of soldiers, sailors, Marines, all military personnel that were buried out there, and to honor them and to make us remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it began. And then, of course, James Garfield was the first president that actually spoke about it, and he wanted to honor it because as he spoke at Arlington, there were over 20,000 Northern and Southern soldiers of the Civil War buried there. And that was because of the unity of this nation. We ought to realize that exists. When we fought with each other, it was an unhappy time, unsettling time, but a time that we pulled our nation back together after that war. And so that was part of this process too, as we went out there, is to recognize we are all one, and especially in death. Memorial Day is about us remembering some point in time during that day. It ought to be called a memory of exactly what we are enjoying this day off for. It used to be when I was on a military post in San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston, I was there on Memorial Day, and I took a walk that morning very quietly by myself out through the graveyard and remembered that I was one who returned, but all the gravestones that I was looking at were ones, many of them, that did not return. And I've done that at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and I've done that in D.C. It's that quiet, less than an hour that it took me to walk out there in and spend some time quiet, meditation, and prayer, and remember those people that died so that we, me included, can continue the freedom that we enjoy and the values that we enjoy here in the United States.
I think that's what most people try to remember on Memorial Day, that our freedom. And if that's all you know, that's great, to just think about the people who served and died so that we could be free. And when you think about it, though, because you retired from the military, how many years did you serve?
30 plus 3 months.
And how many wars?
Just two that I was directly involved in Vietnam being the one I was actually in combat in, and then I served in Desert Storm, but that was in a support role. And
in Korea, were you in a support role in Korea?
I was in Korea. The war was over long before that.
My dad is a lot older than you, and he served in the Korean War.
Korean War, yeah.
Yes. Well, that's so good to know. I think that one of the things for Memorial Day or the whole Memorial Weekend, and you guys can even do it the whole week. So we tried to do the show a little earlier to give time for people to prepare. Yes. And to share with their families, share with their kids, and really take time to think of good ways to remember these men and women through this whole week, and then Monday, which is actually Memorial Day.
Many volunteers. There are people in different wars. Every time there was a war, there was many people that came in and signed up. Now, there was a draft at a time that took some people in. But now it's an all-volunteer military. And so these people are signing a contract that includes up to and including their life.
Right.
And
which is a heroic thing, in my opinion. I've never done that. And, you know, I tend to not want to go anywhere that I might possibly die. Right. I try to avoid that. And I think most people, if the danger is you could die, they would avoid that.
There were people that, I don't think anybody goes in to give their life for their country. They try to defend the values and the principles and freedoms of our country.
Which is what they're thinking about.
It's what they're thinking about. And does that call on you to risk your life? Yes, it does. Eisenhower walked along a line shaking hands with men before D-Day. And he knew well that there was going to be a slaughter of sorts on the beaches. But that was the decision that was made that had to take place to win World War II. And we'd have won it. And we always want to remember that those people that gave their life on those beaches are those that we are honoring also.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about in Vietnam, the incredible number that says that 997 Vietnam vets died on the first day they were there.
At the beach, right, as soon as they got off, right, pretty quickly, some of them that day.
Yeah, that was on their first day in combat. So there was
first day in combat.
There was a few days before that they were processed and this kind of stuff. But many of them, and there were 1,440 died on their last day of their tour. One more day and they would have been out of there, and they died. And I just can't help but to bring that to my heart that says the terrible, nobody and everybody's ready to go home.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're not. And that family who has survived a year without them all of a sudden gets that news that says they're not coming home alive.
And that's when the gold star would become, a blue star would become a gold star.
Exactly. So. And we've got a lot of those families, and I think that we need to keep that in mind, that if we look around, it's not just me that I think of as you say thank you for your service, or in the case of Vietnam vets, so welcome home. We appreciate hearing that now, but it's the family also, and that family is what we're trying to recognize in the Gold Star Monument. Is they suffered and sacrificed in this as well. And so Veterans Day and like that, we recognize those that fought. But here, we don't want to forget that there was a family behind this person that died, and that we owe it, the government owes it to protecting and taking care of as much as possible that particular family as well.
Well, you have been very quiet. So we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we are going to have you talk to Ray about, because you served in the Air Force.
I did.
And so you know people who didn't make it. And so stay right here. We'll be right back. Okay. Let me reset this. You have been very quiet, very respectful. I appreciate it. Welcome back. We are still talking about Memorial Day, and Colonel Ray Ivey is here to talk to us about Gold Star families, those who've lost loved ones in combat, and the things you can do on Memorial Day, and what the Gold Star Families Monument is that are going up in different places around our Metroplex, but also there's 94 of them across the U.S., and 80 more, hopefully, 80, not 79, because he's working on one right now that will be across the country. So, Ray, tell us more about the Gold Star Family Monument.
They'll cost about $75,000. Let me just get that up.
Well,
the elephant that's in the room.
That's why the donations, right?
Need the donations for.
But why do we need a memorial? Because I think that lots of people, they go, oh, the memorial, you drive past it. I've had people oh, it's nice, but it's just like, no, sometimes there's names not on it or anything, and people have said, why, okay, it's nice to remember, but what is it exactly for? I don't think people understand all that.
True, and it's not quite as bad as asking why do we have graveyards, but it approaches that. But
in your mind, because that's true. But why is that?
Because we want to remember those people that have served and those people that have sacrificed, and it does include those families that had the most horrific losses of someone that was loved. That's why the monument has a hole in it of a emblem of a soldier saluting, is that represents that loss, that hole in that family that will always be there, and that's why the monument's built like that.
Well, and
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, when it comes to just driving by and saying, why is that there or something, if I were a family that had, if I were a Gold Star family, I guarantee I would not drive by any monument like that, any war memorial monument, mm-hmm. and think that, because I've got that hole in my heart, in
exactly.
my family. I would
exactly.
not ever think that. And so I would... I think it's really important for us to consider this project, Ray, and I appreciate your taking a leadership role in it, and that we want to be a part of it. And I might say, too, I was an Air Force officer during Vietnam. I was not in combat. I was not overseas. Didn't go to Southeast Asia. I supported the war effort here at Carswell Air Force Base and training air crews and that kind of thing. And so I came back, but and my life was... shy of an atomic attack from someplace, my life was not in danger. But I was very aware of fallen comrades all around. And I'm so proud to be connected to men like you and women who are part of our veterans force, you know, and Gold Star Force and whatever it may be. But I feel a connection between other military people, whether they're on active duty or retired or just not they served 4 years and out or whatever. You know, I feel like there's a connection there that I feel. And so I'm proud to have served.
Thank you. And I say thank you for your service, because it took us all. They needed 500 and something thousand of us in Vietnam at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Over the period of time. That's what the Johnson drew it up to in 65, 67 time frame, and it stayed up in those high numbers almost to the end. But there's millions of people that are in uniform. And it took everybody doing whatever their job was wherever to make that military effort work. And you think of it, you're so far removed from Vietnam, but actually it all is contributing to the freedom of our country. And I like to say that to those that come up to me and you know, say I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't there, but you were in support of us. And by the way, for Vietnam vets, makes me also think we didn't feel so supported, especially toward the end. The American will to be there was diminishing and disappearing. And some of us came back in to some very rude remarks and comments and anything but a welcome. And that hurt us in that regard. But we knew another veteran did understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I've said many times, I quit trying to talk to people, because if you're arguing the credits of Vietnam, and I don't want to argue that.
But the media drove that. Media drove all that negative rhetoric.
Yes, and I would tell you, for memorial families, I hear people still say that was such a waste of life. I don't look at that as a waste of life. Eisenhower set up a containment policy for communism, mm-hmm. and it ringed from Korea, Japan, through Vietnam to Thailand, all across the South and up the western side of USSR. That was his policy. That was Eisenhower's policy.
Mm-hmm. But see, a lot of people, because you worked at the Pentagon, so you have an overall view of the whole strategy and plan, whereas a lot of people, all they know is just we went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
But in that, we pulled out eventually, right?
Yeah.
We didn't lose. We pulled out. And so I think that for you, you see the whole picture, and you let people know that it stopped communism, the spread of communism.
Yes. I think that we said to Nguyen Gap, was the defense minister of North Vietnam. Someone once said to him, after the war was over and all, that we Americans never lost a battle on the battlefield. And he says, it didn't matter. Because they had the will to stay longer, and they did.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of different ways this thing could have done. And you know, Eisenhower had 1,600 people in Vietnam. Kennedy took it to 16,000 under the advice of Eisenhower to keep it small. Johnson's the one that took it to 500 plus thousands of people and opened up a territorial whole ground, I think old-style industrial warfare. They didn't understand what Kennedy was about and something like that. But the thing about that could have been done different. And I will argue against government policies and ways. People can argue that about the way D-Day took place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had my next door neighbor who died just November of 2000. He went in on day two, wouldn't talk to me about it, but he said the hardest part when he heard some of my stuff about picking up people on the battlefield and the awfulness of war, he said, he finally opened up and said, the hardest thing for me was when the landing craft came in, it stopped when we were about chest deep in water, wouldn't go any further in, so we had to come off that landing craft at about chest deep. So we held our weapons above our head and came off that platform and then had to push dead bodies
out of the way in the water
to get to the beach. There's some brutal things about war, nasty things that are just part of it, because there wasn't a way to say we're going to clean that up and make that better that day, not on day two of going in there. They hadn't even established a good beachhead yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bunch of criticism that can be leveled at Vietnam. I can level some criticism about how we did things in Vietnam. But if you back away from it further, we realize we did contain communism.
Yes. Which was the plan.
Which was the plan, and it finally broke.
Which is part of why they pulled out, right? I think that people don't, I mean, the media drove a lot of it too. But people just don't really know the whole picture. And so they can look at any war and criticize it, of course, the way it was. I mean, when you're not on the battlefield and you're not part of the plan, anytime you look back, you can always look back and criticize and see issues or see problems.
But that family that lost somebody in Vietnam, that family, when I stood there at talking at the Vietnam Wall, I turned and pointed up at the deal and said, we knew these guys. People in this right here, we had them on our helicopters. We flew them. And we, brought some of them lifeless bodies off the battlefield when we came out of there. But that is not dying in vain. And I'll guarantee you, that person didn't think he was dying in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined the Army. There was other people that joined the Army. I joined because I was thinking to be drafted. But many of us joined the service, just like they did in World War II. And with the knowledge that they may go and die. And that person, I would hate to think that they would look down now and think that we thought that their death was a waste.
Well, and I know that families, when we have people whose loved ones die, and there is this commonality with these people that want them never to be forgotten. And I don't think any of us want any of our loved ones to ever be forgotten. And definitely the memorials are for that reason. So
correct.
We never forget their service. We never forget that these people helped us get and maintain our freedom. And I say that because there was the Revolutionary War, too.
If you're not willing to stand up, then you'll be overrun And that is being taught to us in a lesson right now in Ukraine. If you don't stand up to the Russians would have overrun that country and taken over that country by force. We thought we were beyond that. I think a lot of us thought we were beyond that kind of old-style warfare, use your mighty strength to force somebody else into submission.
And yet, it happens in Africa. It happened in Czechoslovakia with Russia. Russia's gone into a lot of places.
Yep.
We just haven't highlighted them on television until now.
The USSR did.
Well, but so yes, that's with Czechoslovakia. But Russia, Putin's gone in.
Yep.
He went into Crimea, right? Yep. And it wasn't on television. That was not that long ago.
Yep.
And so, I mean, we've all known Putin is like this horrible person, right? Like he's a dictator.
And the thing about it is that we've got to recognize on Memorial Day that people did stand up during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be times in the future because the Bible tells us there'll be wars and rumors of wars till he returns. So it's not going to stop. We don't fight this war with the idea that in World War II, we'll fight this one so that our kids won't have to fight one.
That's what we were hoping.
Yeah.
But you can see
World
that
one, two.
Every president's had a war,
yes.
Except for against Trump.
And because there's somebody that's going to is going to rise up and do things that are inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
Illegal, and horrific. And they will subdue other people by force and by violence.
Right.
And
that can happen here too, and people would have to go to war to help us.
That's exactly right. So that's part of what these monuments are all about, is to kind of keep us all attuned. Many kids can go through time and never meet a veteran. You think there's veterans everywhere, but there's only 7% of our population, 7.23% of our population, has been served in a military uniform.
When we were at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, the committee who was in charge of that were up front at one point praying individually for different segments of society.
Yes.
And a man was praying for veterans, and that would include both those who have lived through a war or those who were on active duty now or those who had fallen. But he was praying, and before he prayed, though, he said, I'd like for everyone who is a veteran to stand. And, you know, I stood, and I kind of expected nearly everybody to stand up. That's so naive of me, right?
Yes.
There just weren't very many who stood up. And I thought, well, you know, I guess that...
And there was a range of ages there.
Yeah. And so, it just showed me that... overall, the numbers are pretty small.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even and even more so today, because we reduced our forces to strength levels down.
Yes.
And but we've still had so many people that have been into Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
and the Gulf War I, Gulf War II. Those are those veterans that are there that continue to be with us, and the families that continue to lose people. So,
yes, that's right.
So let me ask you, you were saying that the Gold Star Family monuments are $75,000 each, about, roughly. So you have to raise money. You also get money from the Woody...
Williams Foundation.
Williams Foundation, yes.
Who started all this.
How much did they donate, you think?
I don't know that.
But they donate quite a bit, and then you have to raise the rest.
Correct.
In every...
And we will speak to the... Azle City on June the 7th to assure or ascertain their support that we might be able to put this on public land, one of the park areas, by the library, by the Azle City Park or something, that will keep us from the cost of land.
Oh, yes.
Big price. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, but you know, I'm a fundraiser, and I fundraise always. I pick my causes, and if it's for the Pregnancy Help Center, mm-hmm. or if it's for the Community Caring Center, I'm helping for those that are underprivileged that or they're in a bad spot in life at this time and need help, a hand up to get back on their feet. I do that. This one is similar to that kind of thing. It's a passion of mine. And so I say I think this is going to be easy because I do think the American public supports the armed forces maybe more than they have in many years at least. And so I don't think that's going to be as hard. So what I jokingly say is all I got to find is 75 people going to give me $1,000.
Yeah.
That's what I like about you, Ray. That's one good, of the many positive things.
Yes.
You got to be positive about
that. That's right, positive.
And so, and I think there's, you know, Hazel's got 13,000 people in it, or they're, but that includes kids.
And that's
and all
a smaller thing. Community compared to a lot of these communities.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And we'll reach out to beyond the city itself. There's 65,000 in the Hazel ISD area, and that's counting kids. So we're not counting them. We're counting people that are making money and bringing it in. And we will ask for that kind of support. And there's some cases, like I was on the committee that built Hazel City Park. And a lot of that was done in kind, where the people were going to level the land for us, to put down a foundation for us to put the pavilion and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That was all done by people that just gave of their time and their equipment. And I'm sure there are ways so that we can offset that cost by asking for that kind of support too.
Well, and those family members, the Gold Star families that have had someone die in combat, they don't want anyone to forget. They want you to remember. Their fear is that you'll forget their family member, and they don't want that. That's their biggest fear, I think.
So when I'm raising money, I will say to you, don't you want to be a part of that, what you just said?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be a part of showing them that we do remember, that we still honor those people, and we honor your family for having a loved one killed doing that? Don't you want to be a part of that?
Talk to them. Yeah. So they would get a hold of you. How could they reach you, Ray?
They can reach me at my email address is one. That's azleiv at AOL.com.
Would that be A-Z-L-E?
Indian Victor.
And then your last name, I-V-E-Y?
No.
A-Z-L-E and then I-V.
Let me demonstrate some of my military stuff. Alpha, Zulu, Lima, Echo, India, Victor at AOL.com.
There you go.
So,
all right.
Thanks for clarifying that, though.
Yeah, because I was some people who, if they know your name, they might think that's
well,
what
I don't
it was.
Mind people having my cell phone number, and that's 817-675-2946.
So you can reach out to Ray if you would like to help raise money, if you're a fundraiser person, or if you would like to give money for the memorial. And you can also look around your area and see if you have one going up. That would be great.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
These Gold Star families would so be honored by anything you can do to help out with this. And we just thank you. We thank you so much. Both of you, you're both Air Force, I just realized.
No, he's
you
Army.
You were Army, Air Force.
Army,
you flew.
Aviation.
Oh, yeah. Army, aviation. Yeah.
Oh,
we're the low, slow flyers. We're the fast.
Not the Air Force, right? Yes.
Yeah, so
you guys made really good targets. That was part of the problem, Ray. You know?
Right.
Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Your story, the stories you tell about that raised the hair all over my body. Let me tell you. That's but you know what? Let me just say, too, I don't know how much time we have, but I want you to know how much you mean to me personally. We've gotten to be really good friends, and we see each other quite frequently, and our wives know each other and all. But you're one of the most wonderful people I've ever met, and I appreciate it. I mean, every word of that.
We've been blessed by God to be knowing you. And so. There's things in everybody's life a lot of things that people don't advertise or then it's not really a secret, but they kind of keep it that way, close. And we all need people. I think maybe in this right here, in this context, is that these families need people to reach out and touch them and show their support, that we acknowledge. What you're still every Memorial Day remember your loved one that was lost, and that's part of what drives me in this right here. I don't want them to ever feel like they're alienated, for sure, but not even distanced from the community that we can't understand completely unless you've lost someone.
Yeah.
but you certainly can sympathize with their loss and be an encouragement to them for the strength they need.
Right.
So.
Good word.
Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you so much. And thank you for everyone watching. We just thank you for joining us. And Ray, just we want to be a part. We want to help. And just thank you so much for coming. And thank you both for your service.
You're welcome.
Everyone, just remember, with Memorial Day coming up, remember the people who died in combat. Remember these families and reach out and touch them.
Yeah.
Thank you.